Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fourth episode this season of Pending Nuff Rules.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back, I should say.
Welcome back. Thanks for taking a half hour out of your day to spend with us here.
Half hour to an hour, depending on how chatty we are.
Yeah, we'll see how chatty we are today.
Chit-chatty.
Chit-chatty, Kathy.
So today, we are going to talk about a fairly popular topic.
Very popular.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Unemployment. It sucks.
It stinks.
It sucks a big old dick.
It's affecting virtually everybody. And if it's not affecting you, it's affecting someone you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If it's not, if you yourself are not unemployed, then I guarantee you know someone who is unemployed. You probably know several people who are unemployed, which is so unfortunate. But we're going to talk about this topic because we slash I in particular have a lot of knowledge on this topic because I became unemployed the end of June 2020 from the pandemic, which is kind of what's happening for most people.
Yeah.
So I'll give a brief rundown of what happened for me. I was working for a small company here in Nashville that when the pandemic hit, we were already struggling a wee bit. And I'm not going to talk about who the company is because I don't want to put them on blast by any means. And I'm not going to speak ill of them. But when the pandemic first hit, we were definitely affected. Our revenue came to a screeching halt. And we were lucky enough that I don't remember when, but we applied for the small business loan and were approved. Through the first few months, once everybody started to realize this wasn't just a short-term situation, my bosses came to me and said that everybody on the leadership team was going to have to take a pay cut. And everybody's salary was cut down, I think it was like 44%.
Big time bummer.
Yeah, really sucked. But I knew that if I wanted to make a name for myself in this company, which was the plan originally, that me sticking it out through the tough times would speak volumes for my loyalty with the company. And it did for a while. And then unfortunately, June rolled around and they just couldn't hang on to me anymore because their expenses were just too high.
Yeah.
And I was too expensive for them, even with the 44% pay cut. So it sucked. Part of me knew that it was probably going to happen. And at the time, I thought that it was probably a blessing in disguise because I was actually looking for an exit before the pandemic. I just felt like maybe there were greater opportunities out there for me. So June 22nd, I was let go. And then immediately I filed for unemployment. And for only a week, I qualified for the extra federal package. I don't know what to call it.
Oh, that's right.
The extra $600. So only a week I got that. And then the week after that, I started getting the Tennessee state funds, which I won't go into that, but let me just tell you, it is not a livable wage to be on unemployment. It is pennies for anybody. So I just want to kind of touch on a few key things for unemployment and for people who are unemployed. And I think it's good to have you, Ben, here for this because I think there are so many people who are partners of people who are unemployed that don't know what they can do to help support that person. And not necessarily in a financial way, but in a emotional way. And I think that that's something we can chat about.
Yeah.
But starting off with me, I do not like being a financial burden to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I like having my own money. I don't like asking people for money. It feels gross to me, and that's just who I am, take it or leave it, unfortunately.
Money feels gross to you?
Asking for money.
Gotcha.
Like needing somebody else to help me with money, it feels taboo, and I just don't like it.
But at the same time, we have a double household now.
I know. I need to work on letting it go, and being unemployed has really jumped me on that and put gas on that fire because I had no choice. I did have to rely on you. And thank God that I did have you because I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have you financially supporting us because, like I said before, what the state gives you is next to nothing.
Oh yeah, we've
and,
seen that.
And, you know, I would have fallen behind on all of my bills if I didn't have you. So thank you for that.
No problemo.
What I kind of want to touch on, something that I struggle with, is that I associate my self-worth with my financial income. I tend to have a lot of anxiety and by proxy depression and stress revolving around my financial instability. The last 6 months have been really challenging for me because there are days when, because the other thing too is that being unemployed, there's not a lot that you do every day. Like I try and stay productive around the house with projects and things, but there are days where you'll ask me like, what are you going to do today? And I'll say, I don't know, I'm feeling kind of blue today.
Sure.
And on those days, it's really hard for me to get up and do something. It's hard for me not to stay on the couch all day.
I get that.
What is it like for you as a spouse of someone who's unemployed? Like, what are the feelings that you kind of run through on a daily, weekly basis of watching your loved one go through something like this?
Well, first off, it is important to be supportive of you. Mm-hmm. And understanding everything you're going through, because every day is so different. And just helping you with not only your mental state, but like your career path. Is there anything I can do? I know you're applying diligently for jobs all the time, but it's just keeping a check, keeping a balance, not shutting each other out, because it can get pretty dark sometimes when you look at the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to what I go through, from that, it's just keeping everything in check more. When I start to see the bank account get a little low, I know it's time to be pretty conservative for a couple weeks until that next paycheck, because I am very, very fortunate enough to still be on a retainer salary. Mm-hmm. My salary is not what it would be if we had the live events industry up and going, but it's still enough to manage. And I know the exact number that's coming in every other Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of my anchor. I can plan around that, knowing that X amount goes to the mortgage and then X amount goes to this. And then after that, whatever falls short, I just know I have to cut back for that 1 or 2 weeks. And that little bit of squeezing the pocket does so much good. It's just a little bit here and there goes so far when it comes to money.
Yeah, and this is such a privileged thing to say and a privileged way to think about things, but something so simple as using coupons. Like,
totally.
I've never been someone who is a coupon cutter. It's just not something that I've ever had to do, which again, I say is something that comes from privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we shop at Kroger and we have like a Kroger card and things like that. And if there's something that's like a little bit cheaper, I might grab it if it's similar to what I'm reaching for.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know why I am/used to be, I'm working my way out of it. But like something so simple as like it happened today at Target, because I went to Target to get some stuff to bake some cookies. And there was the Target brand butter and the Land O'Lakes butter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Land O'Lakes butter was buy one, get one free. Or no, buy one, get one. I don't know. It was like 2 for $6 or whatever. And then the Target brand, and I needed two. And the Target brand was it was only going to be like, I think like a quarter difference, like 25 cent difference if I got the Target brand. I stood in front of that butter for 30 seconds. I was like, do I want the Land O'Lakes? What's the difference in the Land O'Lakes butter? But is the Target brand butter better? I don't know. Or is it worse? I don't know. And then I just realized, I was like, Kate, you need to buy the cheaper butter. That's the bottom line.
By default, I am like that.
I know you are.
Without question.
And I'm trying to be better about that.
But butter is something that you're not going to taste the difference in. Were you going to make a batch of cookies and expect someone to be like, something tastes a little off. What kind of butter did you use? No.
But that's what I'm saying, is that it's something so minuscule that in my brain I have been programmed that the brand name is better, that I have to sit there and wrestle with myself.
Right.
So anyways, what I'm saying is now I've become so diligent when it comes to our weekly grocery shop of going and looking to see what's on sale, maybe adjusting what I'm making so that I can get the things that are on sale.
Sure, sure.
And going around to different stores where I know I can get certain things for cheaper. Mm-hmm. Like our friend Christine Crawford, who's an angel.
Bam, bam. Wait, hang on. Are you talking about the Christine Crawford from that Mel Gibson movie Fat Man?
I am talking about the Christine Crawford from that Mel Gibson movie Fat Man.
So not our friend Christine Crawford. You're talking about the one in the movie.
Yeah, one and the same, isn't she?
They are the
Wasn't
same
she
person.
In that movie?
Yes.
Also the Christine Crawford of the Crawford Method.
Wait, hang on. You're talking about the newly world-renowned Crawford Method.
Yes.
Which I trademarked.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I came up with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Drew was asleep when we watched that.
Yeah, he tends to do that.
Anyways, on a tangent. Christine and her lovely boyfriend just moved to our neck of the woods.
Lovely.
I think he's lovely. Mm. And she's a big fan of Aldi. And I had never really shopped at Aldi before. And so I went with her a couple of times and she's totally transformed me into an Aldi shopper.
Let's back up. I'm the one that started raving about Aldi way before Christine. And
yeah,
you just shrugged it off.
I wasn't listening. But when my super cool hip friend Christine says, hey, you would like shopping at Aldi. It's like Trader Joe's, but not Trader Joe's. Because we live so far from Trader Joe's. So something so minuscule as clipping for coupons has become a part of our day-to-day. But what I'm hopeful for is that once we get back into financial stability, that I continue to spend my money like I have been while being unemployed. Because I don't want to go back to like wasting money on things that are unnecessary. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yep. I've been kind of the same way in regards to not spending money if I don't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if I'm at Kroger, I'll look at the trash bags. I'm like, well, yeah, we are running low on trash bags, but I know that it can wait another 2 weeks.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'll wait on those. The small things like that make a big difference.
Yeah. No, for sure. I definitely have realized that I start to think like that because essentially I wait for my weekly unemployment payment. So I'm constantly thinking like, well, should I buy this now or should I wait until Wednesday when I get my payment?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and you know, the other thing too is that a lot of people, when they first go on unemployment, it's up to 21 days before you get your first payment.
That is...
It doesn't make any sense to me that it takes our government 3 weeks to get you that first payment. And I understand that they back pay you for it and that's grand. But what are people supposed to do in those 3 weeks? There's nothing for them in those first 3 weeks.
And the sad part is this isn't a brand new thing. Unemployment has absolutely skyrocketed in the last 9 months.
Right.
But they have had plenty of time to plan for that. If they are low on staff to yield these phone calls and get the paperwork done, then you can plan on that because you know it's not going to go down in demand.
Or even the infrastructure for the website.
Absolutely.
Like, because you, when everything first started, you could not call.
Right.
You would call and be on the phone for 8 hours.
Absolutely.
And on hold. And that's ridiculous.
The IRS was the same way when everyone wanted to get their stimulus checks.
Mm-hmm.
That website was crashing for everybody.
And going off of the website, I know people who I won't name, who didn't get a payment for almost like 3 or 4 months.
I believe that.
Because there was a glitch in the system and it got missed or something. And he was so diligent and was calling and calling and calling to the point where he had to call like his representative or something, or state representative or something like that. And they're like, oh yeah, I see the problem. I'll fix it right now. And then he just got a fat check for like $10,000 because they had missed his payments for so long.
Isn't that sad?
That's so sad. But like, and it's great that he got his payments, but at the same time, he was like not getting any help whatsoever for that time. And that's so scary because his story is not one that is uncommon.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going through that. And to think that people who are single parents and have kids that they have to feed that are unemployed. And God, it sucks. It sucks so much.
It's been pretty tough on the live events industry. The concert industry as a whole has lost $30 billion this year.
Holy shit.
Variety just came out with that little blurb. And that's 147,000 live businesses, which equates to 12 million people in the live events industry. It's this big conflict right now going around because I try to follow the narrative on the Roadie forums. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have adapted because by default, roadies can do that. Mm-hmm. A roadie will be a set carpenter on one tour and then jump and be an audio guy on the next tour. Mm-hmm. But then you've got people that's all they know. Mm. And you have to feel for them because this has been their career. They thought for their entire lives, people are going to go to concerts and nothing in the world is going to shut this thing down. Who could have predicted this?
Yeah.
So luckily, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Light at the end of the tunnel. And we're hopeful that the live events industry will get its legs back under it in the next 6 months or so.
6 months.
Because I'm getting sick of you being home.
Oh, I was just thinking that about you.
I know. God, I'm sick of being home.
You went to Target today and I was able to stretch out. I was able to blare my music.
I don't understand that though, because you do that even when I'm home.
Louder. Louder still.
Louder still. Oh my gosh. For me, on top of the actual lack of finances, the other piece about being unemployed that is such a struggle and correlates with self-worth is the job hunt.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's tough out there. Mm-hmm. It's scary. And, you know, in my experience for the last 6 months, employers realize that they are king. Yes. And I'm only speaking from my experience. I don't know if it's like this for everybody else. I would apply for a handful of jobs a day. Sometimes I would apply for 10 jobs in a day. Sometimes it'd only be one, but you know, at least, gosh, what, 6 jobs a week at least.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of going through it with a fine tooth comb because I wanted to find somewhere that I would fit and not necessarily feel like I had to leave, you know, after something else came along. Anyways, you are sending your resume out, you're pouring yourself into these cover letters, and you're hopeful every time you click that submit button. And, you know, you start to fantasize about yourself in those positions that you're applying for. And you start to fantasize about what it's like to have a paycheck again. And you get hopeful. And then you've applied for this job that you feel like you're a complete shoo-in for. You're like, I have every single thing that they're looking for, plus more. And then you don't hear anything back. Mm-hmm. It's total crickets. And it is so disheartening that there's not even a boilerplate email that gets sent out of, hey, we appreciate you applying. Unfortunately, we're going in a different direction. Or unfortunately, we're hiring from within. Whatever it is.
Right.
But it's just floating out there in the ether. So you never get any kind of conclusion or closure.
And how easy is that for a company to do? The smallest amount of effort for closure on a potential employee.
And you have to feel for people who are hungry, literally hungry out there applying for these jobs. And I've spoken to a friend of ours who has also been unemployed since March, and he's been experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
And going back to your self-worth, you're like, well, shit, am I not good enough for these jobs that I'm applying for? Am I setting my bar too high? Am I applying for things that I shouldn't be applying for? Should I take a step down? And should I be applying for things that I would be making less than my last job?
It's a slippery slope if you start that mentality.
No, and it's hard not to start that mentality. And then that cycle of those blue days for me kind of just snowballs into that where it's like, well, fuck, I'm not worth shit if nobody wants to hire me. I'm not bringing in any money, so I'm a leech on my husband and our finances. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And it's hard to shake out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to feel motivated. And it's hard to even like something so simple as washing your hair. It feels like a chore. It feels like climbing a mountain to try and do stuff like that. And I think that that's something that if you are someone who knows somebody who is unemployed and you think that because they're still unemployed and they've been unemployed for a long time, that they're not trying hard enough, I really hope that this podcast changes your perspective on that, because they are struggling. And I hope that you reach out to people and ask them how they're doing, because it is a dark time for a lot of people out there, especially with the holidays and a lot of people not being able to travel home, not being able to afford Christmas presents, not being able to afford putting on a good feast for their family. It is hard. And I hope that you reach out to your loved ones and your friends and your family who are struggling. And even if you think that somebody's not struggling because what they're posting on social media looks happy and bright, doesn't matter. Still reach out to them, because they may just be putting on a front. I know that I do that 100%. Mm-hmm. If you look at my Instagram right now, you think, oh, she is living footloose and fancy free. She loves being unemployed. Yeah, that's because I want people to think that. I want people to think that I'm not struggling, because I don't want to talk about how I'm depressed.
Yeah.
So that was a lot. But on the flip side of that is, you have been monumental in your support of me. And I feel like our communication has gotten better in the last 6 months.
I'd say that.
And I don't want to speak for you, but I feel that you definitely kind of go through similar emotional waves like I do. Mm-hmm. And I feel that we've gotten better at being able to ask the other what's going on, and for us to give each other the space to try and communicate what that is, or giving each other physical space if needed and not being on top of each other.
For sure. I have dark days just like you. The other day was one of the darkest I've had in a while, because I know that the solution is right in front of us. I know that backup is coming. We have support. It's going to be here anytime, but that time right before it is the hardest. And there's really nothing I can do about it. No matter what I communicate, there's no solution, because the solution is right there on the horizon. So I just have to deal with it and try to manage my emotions, because I've tried to tell you this so many times, it is not your fault what we're going through.
Right.
And if I were to convey some of the thoughts and scenarios that were in my head, I think it would come off like, hey, you need to figure this out. You did this. But like I said, the solution's there. It's just, I don't know any better way to deal with it other than to look to the future.
Right. Do you feel like you can talk to me, like if you were to frame it in a way of, hey, this is going to sound like I'm blaming you for something, and it's not that. I just need to say this out loud, or I need to express this. Do you feel like we can have that conversation, or do you think that that's a challenge?
I just don't know what we would arrive at other than the obvious.
Right.
It would just be a person for me to project that to with no reason to respond. That's really all the productivity that would come from it, if that makes sense.
It does. But so what my question is that, do you think that getting it out of your brain and not letting it sit there and like running it in your brain and like saying it out loud to someone is helpful? Or do you think for you personally that it's better to just not say anything because you're worried about it hurting my feelings?
The latter, for sure.
Okay.
And that's where having our own space helps, because I can go and get preoccupied with something else. Mm-hmm. Come down here and mix, or get deep into a project, and before I know it, it's in the past. When that will pop up into my head again, I don't know, because it always does. But some waves are stronger than others, and I will just rinse and repeat when that time comes.
Well, like you were saying, that light at the end of the tunnel and that silver lining is within reach at this point, because I accepted an offer for a job yesterday, which is amazing.
Hell yeah.
It's been a long process, and I'm not going to talk about the company or anything like that, just because I want to respect the company.
Yeah.
And, I'm new, and I'm not going to jeopardize that, but I accepted an offer yesterday. It was a really long interview process. I had my first interview 2 days after we got married,
mm-hmm.
and I had my final interview on Monday of this week, which would have been December 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So a long and arduous process, well worth the wait, because I'm very excited at what is ahead of me in my career with this position and this company. I have a lot of respect for this company. I have some experience with this company, and I think that I am going to go quite far with this company. Yeah. So.
And it was one of the top companies that you were hoping that would employ you.
Yes.
So that could almost be a glimmer of hope for those out there that think that when they send that submit button,
mm-hmm.
they might not hear anything back. But it's kind of a law of averages.
So true.
As with a lot of things.
I was casting a wide net.
Yeah.
Wide net. I was applying for all kinds of positions, all kinds of companies, all kinds of industries. And the funny thing is that I landed back where I started.
Absolutely.
In the beginning of my career, which I will say is in the design and architecture world. It's funny because when I moved from San Diego, I thought that I would never get back into this industry again, flooring in particular. And here I am.
Here you are.
Coming back.
Full
and
circle.
And it feels like coming home because I'm so comfortable with this industry and these people. And I know so many people. And
it's your wheelhouse.
It really, really is. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity that lies ahead of me. And we're almost there. We're almost there.
You had a literal sigh of relief.
I did.
And a very large grin on your face.
But what I, going back to what you had just said, was that, you know, for anybody out there who is unemployed and feeling really run down by the job hunting process, I feel you. And all I can say is persistence is key. And leaning on others is really an important aspect. For this particular position, I knew someone who worked for the company. So I reached out to him and I just said, how do I land this job? And chatted with him. And I actually have not gotten down to the bottom of this, but I don't know if he gave my resume to someone or if they found me cold on LinkedIn. Because I applied for it on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for friends to read your resumes and your cover letters and give you criticism. And then the other thing too is don't be lazy with your resume's design.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important that, because as someone who has flit through hundreds of thousands of resumes in my time when trying to hire people, I'm drawn to the ones that are a little more creative looking than one that's just Times New Roman.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of free services out there with free templates for a little outside the box of resumes. And I highly recommend using them. I use Canva, and I think even things like Pages and Google Docs have all that kind of stuff.
If you are going to use any of those services that you just said, Pages and Google Docs, pro tip, export them as a PDF,
mm-hmm.
because that means it will arrive exactly as you meant it, not have to convert between Word documents and stuff.
Yep.
So just a little advice.
Yep. That's such great advice. Also, double check your PDFs, because I certainly got in the habit of just keeping my resume on the side of my desktop on my laptop, and I just drag and drop. And then I realized that, and for the job that I just got hired for in particular, that when I first sent it, there was a cover letter attached for a different company.
Oh, no.
Did I tell you this?
No.
There was a cover letter attached for a different company. And in my final interview, and I caught it right in the beginning, and I sent the recruiter that I was speaking to, I sent her an updated copy with the cover letter not attached. Mm-hmm. And she kept forwarding the one with the cover letter attached to it. So no one said anything for a while, which is great. But then in my final interview with a higher up of the company, he said, the resume I was looking at has a cover letter attached for so-and-so. Did you end up ever speaking to them? And I was like,
shit. Caught like wildfire.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry about that.
Oops.
Yeah. But anyways, just make sure that you're double checking all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And if you know somebody that's unemployed, reach out to them every once in a while.
For sure.
Because oftentimes they just want someone to talk to, and it's easier to say to someone, hey, let me know if you need anything,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my biggest pet peeves. It's like, okay, what could you do for me?
Right.
So flip that and reverse it, Missy Elliott style. And check on them, even if it's just a text saying, hey, how you doing? Or a goofy-ass meme you saw online.
For sure.
Yeah, people want to be talked to in this dark time.
Because the other thing, too, is you never know what kind of connections you can have. You might know somebody that you don't see as a connection, and then they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for a job in X. And you'll be like, oh, I know someone who's in that industry. Let me connect you with them.
That's how it goes.
You know, so just, yeah, open the door.
Yeah.
Open the door to those that you love and that are struggling silently and out loud.
Yeah.
But
especially in these holiday seasons where, like Kate said, it can get pretty gloomy if you don't have a lot to look forward to. So be that light in someone's life. I know it sounds cheesy, but for real.
You know, one thing that I've been saying a lot this year whenever somebody says, I know this sounds cheesy, but if ever there was a year for cheese and extra cheese, it is 2020.
Bingo. Literally and figuratively, we have our Advent cheese.
Oh, yeah. Also, speaking of Aldi does a Advent calendar with cheeses for every day.
And we look forward to it.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah.
We say, honey, get me the Christmas cheese.
Christmas cheese.
Christmas cheese. Anyways, so I know that was kind of a heavy topic. We tend to do that every so often here on Pending Nuptials, but just a little insight and perspective for those who are unemployed. And I appreciate you guys coming and taking a listen, and thanks so much. And thank you to my wonderful husband through these times, because seriously, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have you.
We are in this together, honey.
Yeah.
We got this. Let's not get a slap on the wrist from Disney.
Oh, yeah. Let's avoid that at all costs. Anyways, thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we'll be back with another fun topic. And we'll see you then.
Hey.
Hi.
Look at us.
Look at us?
Would you have thought?
I don't know if I would have thought.
I love you.
I love you.